It's just about a minute after 8 o'clock, and welcome to a Monday edition of the Mornings with Ed show. Delighted to have you here. This morning's Artist Corner is brought to you by the Laguna Art Museum. A lot of great stuff going on there. They just opened local artist Gerard Basil's Stripling's exhibition, Work and Soul. It's 2 decades of practice. They also have Gene Lowe's interactive exhibition, Your Place in the Multiverse. That's where visitors can come and shop right out of the exhibition in her discount barn. And also great pieces being pulled out of their permanent collection in Sky Space and Time Change. And of course, Wayne Thiebold, still available to view. He is an American master. All of that going on at the Laguna Art Museum, and not least of which is this coming Saturday. This coming Saturday, let me tell you how life works in mysterious ways. Back at the end of January, Wells Fargo Bank tried to cancel artwork that challenged their narrow view of the world. And now, 3 months later, because of the Neighborhood Congregational Church, Laguna Art Museum, and a groundswell of community support, more people have been reached by this beautiful message of this beautiful art than ever imagined. And this coming Saturday at 6 o'clock, she'll be speaking at Laguna Art Museum. It's as important a lecture as we've seen in quite some time here. Joining us again on the program this morning is the artist behind this most emotional and thought-provoking work, Allison Allen. Allison, thank you for being here again this morning.
Thank you for having me, Ed. Good morning.
Good morning. And I understand that I am the only person in the world that you'll do something this early with. Thank you.
So far, yes.
Okay, well, I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. As you and I spoke a few months ago, what have these last few months taught you or reinforced what you already knew?
Well, I want to thank the Laguna Arts community because I have felt very embraced and supported in my message and with my work and with this particular project. But Ed, I think the Laguna Beach community has learned more about itself than I've learned about Laguna. I think the Laguna Beach community and the residents have grown more since the exhibit than I grew from this whole experience.
I would agree with you. I've sensed a sense of growth, and I think that growth for me, when I first felt it, happened when the exhibit opened at the Neighborhood Congregational Church. You could almost feel that experience, and after that lecture or that conversation that you had with the audience, you could feel the growth there. Has your experience here in Laguna Beach inspired any art that you're contemplating or currently working on?
Well, the projects that I had slated to be next are still the ones that I'm going to create next, but I have decided to make a couple of new pieces for this particular exhibit because going forward, it is already invited to other venues, and so at that point, I'll have over 40 pieces, and I would be able to actually split the exhibit if I had to send it two different places at the same time.
Ah, makes sense. So when the exhibit was initially taken down several months ago, we all knew what drove that. We knew that it was fear. Talk to me about the power of fear and disinformation, especially when it comes to art.
Well, the whole disinformation campaign is something that's ongoing, not just in the arena of art, obviously in science and politics and everything else. And I was just trying to use the pieces I had decided to display to reemphasize. And I was trying to get people to look at some of the issues, maybe even tongue-in-cheek. If I had displayed some of the Karen pieces that, you know, poke fun at the angry Karens and whatnot, I would want them to look at that and then kind of have to take a breath and ask themselves, hey, do I resemble that remark? You know, it was to make you kind of look at yourself and wonder if this is about how you've been interacting with people up to this point, and do you want to continue to interact with people this way if it's making this kind of negative impression on the people around you.
Right.
The art is, it's just a vehicle. Every piece can be a teaching moment, and that's true of a photograph or a painting or a sculpture. And I was trying to do that with these.
Very well. And well done, by the way. You mentioned Karens and tying that into fear. In some areas of the country, there are school districts that are sowing fear about the teaching of critical race theory. States are rolling back voting rights, making it harder for people of color to vote out of the fear of who they'll vote for, or drawing districting maps to nullify the votes of black and brown people altogether. Have we as a nation actually moved backward in the last 40 years?
In my opinion, that's the direction that one of the political parties wants to take us in. And it's not just the fear of who they vote for and which candidate or which party might end up in majority, but it is also the fear of how we're progressing. They want to hold back because, again, they fear the country is too quickly browning. And there is a large population of individuals in this country who don't really comprehend the whole American experience. They thought they would be able to still control how many minorities entered the United States or migrated to the United States. And that was hundreds of years ago. At this point, they're just so afraid that America is browning too quickly, and pretty soon white people are not going to be the majority.
Right.
So it's not just which candidate might end up winning because people of color are able to vote in masses unless their voting rights are stripped, but it's also the overall complexion of America is changing, and some people just, they want it to be like Europe, where every state is just like how each country is an individual country in Europe. And that's not even the point of how this whole place was set up.
Right, right. I noticed and it struck me that when we met a few months back and you and I had a conversation, a private conversation, and then you spoke to a much larger audience, and in the few conversations I've had with you since, I've come to realize that I am a lot more cynical than you about the types of people that wanted your art banned, about the types of people that don't give you the time of day, let's say. I only engage with them to ridicule them. You seem to be open to conversation. And
but you know what? That's another example of what we call privilege. I guess people who don't really get what we mean when we say privilege, they're thinking something, I guess the closest thing along those same lines would be clueless.
Right.
So you might be clueless to some of the things that I would consider privilege. If you've never had to think twice about what you're about to say to someone, if you've never had to think twice about where you're going to sit on the subway, where you're going to sit in the restaurant, if you'll even be served when you get to the restaurant. That is a subconscious state of mind called privilege. And people who've never had to think twice about those different things, they don't realize they're experiencing that privilege. So you might call it being clueless, but people of color recognize it as your privilege.
And am I wrong for believing those people are irredeemable?
Yes, because okay. I think that a lot of people have come to understand. I mean, they've expressed to me when I meet them in the exhibit, they're expressing to me that they are trying to be more aware of how they interact with other people. My niece and I had almost the same conversation yesterday. She said on her job, there have been people who have actually walked in and see her wearing her natural hairstyle, and they want to reach out and touch her hair. And if you're a person of color, I mean, to a lot of us, that's considered a racist move.
Oh, yeah, it is.
To you, it might be a compliment. You're saying, I'm so intrigued, and I'm so curious, and can I touch your hair? That's a racist move.
It really is. And it's so blatant.
But some people don't realize it. They think it's like, I'm complimenting you. I'm saying that this is just, it caught my attention, and I don't know how to respond except honestly. And so being clueless, that's, you know, part of your privilege, but we have to constantly be aware when you're reaching out toward our head or our face, you know, should we flinch or back away or be afraid or what?
Right. Yeah, I'll be honest, no one has ever reached out to touch my hair, ever.
Okay, this is what I'm saying. So if the reverse situation would not make sense to you,
right,
then it's inappropriate.
Yes. Oh, beautiful. Your exhibit is up at the Neighborhood Congregational Church until the last week of April.
Until April 24th. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to invite your listeners to come to the closing reception. I'm saying from 2 to 4, but technically from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock on the 24th is a ceremony to make the existing pastor, their settled pastor. I understand he's been there for about 5 years.
Pastor Rod. We and love Pastor Rod.
It'll make it, yes, the settled pastor. What a pleasant man. And then from 3 to 4 is the closing reception for the quilt exhibit. But if they are able to come any day before that, then especially this weekend, the sanctuary will also be open for them to be able to see some of the pieces that are in that space as well, because pieces are in three different spaces. On the 24th, they won't be able to see the pieces that are in the attached room to Bridge Hall, the library, and those are three or four of my favorites in there, because we're taking those down and adding about 5 more to install at 7 Degrees for the Art Stars Gala the evening of the 24th.
Right. You are the winner of the $5,000 Honecker Family Grant, and it's April 24th Art Star Awards is going to be held at 5:30 p.m. over at 7 Degrees here in Laguna Beach. First of all, giant congratulations on that, and also a huge congratulations on the successful run over at the Neighborhood Congregational Church. You nailed it with Pastor Rod. That is as decent a human being as we've ever met or had in this town. Absolutely love Pastor Rod.
Well, thank you for the congratulations. That award was the 2 years ago that, you know, led to me being able to create several more of the pieces, so we had a full exhibit. So that money's gone. But as far as the people at the church, Susan and Joyce and all of the people affiliated with the church have been phenomenally welcoming and embracing and supportive. And this would not have happened for your community had it not been for all of the players. I, of course, want to thank Wayne and Faye Baglin again. And I want to mention, when you enter the exhibit, the experience that you have initially stepping into the space is, of course, because of the beauty of the church space. The courtyard, the big windows, the light coming through the stained glass, all that. But the other part of your visual experience has to do with how the exhibit was installed. And that was because of the intuitive and artistic eye of the gentleman who installed the exhibit, a man named Troy. And my heart goes out to Troy, because he had to install it in the bank space, then deinstall right away, and then install it in the church space. He's going to have to deinstall from the church space and install at 7 Degrees.
Right.
So the way we experience it has a lot to do with the way he decided to hang the pieces. And I wanted to, you know, express that I recognize that's another artistic eye that it took to get us all to enjoy it this much.
And the way it's installed, and I'm not just saying this as a fan, but your 30 plus pieces, as you see them, as you visualize and you walk and you see the 30 plus pieces, all of them are breathtaking in their honesty. All of them. And I think that's what captured me, is just every single piece is so honest.
Thank you. I've been getting text messages and whatnot after each weekend. And one weekend, Susan sent me a video of a couple who, she said, they told her they were from Los Angeles, and they saw the banner that the church had paid for and put out on the main street to attract passersby. And this couple came in, and after a few minutes in the space looking around, the gentleman took out his flute and started playing flute music. And there are chairs all around the room in the main hall, and the visitors just sat down and enjoyed the flute music. But it's because of the atmosphere in the space that they were able to enjoy it that way. And I'm glad that people are experiencing it in all different ways.
It's the perfect vibe. It really, really is. So you also have works at Laguna Art Museum, where you're going to be speaking here on Saturday. For the rest of the year, what's your plan? And will Laguna Beach ever get another opportunity to hear your voice in an exhibit here?
Well, as far as Laguna Beach Museum, I did want to make sure your listeners know that they contact the museum for that ticket information. But it is going to be 6 o'clock this Saturday, the 16th. And I have two pieces right in the entrance. And I'll bring maybe 5 or 6 additional pieces. And that'll be a conversation between me and a woman at the museum named Rochelle. Right. And it will touch on more in depth the two pieces that are there that are more related to women's history, and then some of the pieces in the church exhibit, and then also show a couple of other examples of my work. And then I do have a piece as well with Rick Conkey at the Cultural Center. And his exhibit that he's still installing right now revolves around the fact that Earth Day is in April, and April is Environmental Conservation Month, and he's kind of honoring a local conservationist, Mark Chamberlain.
Yes.
And so that exhibit is a different kind of thread or message, but it will be just as important and just as lovely to walk through. I love that space with the brick walls to display the art.
Yes.
Excuse me. It's like a hidden gem once you go up the stairs at that space of the Cultural Center.
So
I can't answer your question about what goes on with the exhibit after this. There's a short break in the summer months, and then it goes with a national quilt show to Philly and then to New England. Then in October, it returns to California, but it's up north in San Jose. And the beginning of next year, it will go to South Carolina. So I won't get it back until next spring. And at that time, I am hoping that it would be invited because of the response so far to possibly the Muckenthaler in Fullerton and the Chafee Museum of Art, Community Museum of Art in Ontario.
All right, so I'm letting our listeners know, if you have yet to catch the exhibit, you should catch it here very, very soon. And one final question about Saturday. Have you already penned what you're going to be speaking about, or do you already know, and can you give us a preview of what you're talking about?
Well, like I said, Rochelle, I think, is planning questions where it'll be kind of a conversational format.
Okay.
And she did want us to touch on the two pieces that are there, then some of the exhibit pieces from the church, and then speak a little bit on the different techniques that'll be shown in the extra handful of pieces that I'm going to bring that night.
Okay.
So a couple of things are not on display yet.
Okay.
I do want to thank the docent volunteers. Oh, my goodness. Bay and I were thinking, because, you know, the Community Art Project doesn't usually have docents.
Right.
When they hang an exhibit at the Bank Gallery space. And, of course, everybody following the story knows that almost 2 years ago, the masters, the Pageant of the Masters or whatever that used to hang in the third floor
right.
of the bank. They left the space. And then now, just this month, the CAP project is leaving the gallery space completely. So from now on, there won't be any art in the Laguna branch of Wells Fargo. But that's... I hope that the church will consider having another exhibit of my work, of course I hope, because I have so many other pieces that are of a common thread or theme that would hang beautifully in that space. But I also hope they open it up to CAP for paintings or photography or other things that would have normally been in the bank space. And I think that that is a conversation that CAP is having with the church at this time.
Right. And I think that was a very good move from CAP to move itself, to separate itself from Wells Fargo. And additional art hanging at the Congregational Church would just be a great benefit to the rest of the community.
It would, because you saw the space. It really is art friendly. And then they have, you know, they rent it out for events or receptions. So people that are not even coming to the exhibit would be able to experience it if it's already installed. I hope that that does happen. I genuinely hope that people who've never visited the church campus before had a chance to go there, see where it is, see the lovely space, and decide to return to the church for church.
Right. Exactly. Okay. This coming Saturday, don't miss it. It's at the Laguna Art Museum at 6 p.m. It'll be a fascinating question and answer period with the amazing artist we're speaking to right now. Allison Allen, as always, thank you so much for being on the program. And please feel free to call back whenever you want to talk.
Thank you so much, Ed. And thank you to your listeners. And shout out to my docents. And I hope to see all of you either at the reception or next Saturday evening.
We'll look forward to seeing you. Allison Allen, thank you once again.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. 8:23 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.